I think Coach Cully's done a fantastic job there. Just watching their first two games so far on offense, defense, and special teams, they're well put together. They have an identity. Lovey Smith as a defensive coordinator, I mean, it's a defensive line that plays unbelievably hard, tremendously active, great linebacker play. So there's a lot of things for us to prepare for, and it's a very unique offense. It's a pro-style offense that has a lot of college concepts as well, a lot of RPOs, a lot of quarterback run game. I think we just have to make sure that we're really sound to what we do, and some of the things we've done the last few weeks in terms of some of our defensive personnel packages, we'll have to adjust.
Week 3 NFL season gets underway tonight on NFL Network at 7:20. Panthers undefeated at 2-0 at the Texans, who are 1-1. Panthers schedule very favorable. It's conceivable they could start the year 6, maybe 7-0. It's not a very tough part of the schedule, and Carolina might be that surprise team this year. Sam Darnold's played well. Matt Rhule's a very good coach. Not always do you see a college coach go to the pros and have success. I think Matt Rhule is a guy that's not overwhelmed by this, and Carolina off to a nice 2-0 start with a brand-new quarterback, and now they get the Texans, a very winnable game in Houston coming up tonight. Local sports, Athlete of the Week, and Dusty will update you on the schedule for today.
Yes, Osborne senior Mason Shearer has been named the NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Two straight outstanding games and helping lead the Osborne Bulldogs to big wins on the football field. This past Friday night, he scored 5 total touchdowns in Osborne's 58-8 win over Lakeside in Downs. Ran the ball 9 times for 201 yards and 3 touchdowns, including 79-yard touchdown run for the second straight week. He also had a 55-yard punt return for a touchdown and a receiving touchdown in the victory and added 6 tackles on defense. In the Bulldogs' 46-0 win over St. John's Tipton a week 2, sure had the 79-yard score, finished with 5 carries, 97 yards, and 2 touchdowns rushing. Also had 7 tackles and interception in the win over the Blue Jays. On the season, Shearer is averaging just under 10 yards per carry, 32 carries for 319 yards and 5 touchdowns rushing. He also has 7 catches for 75 yards and a score, and is fourth on the team with 18 total tackles on defense. So, again, congratulations to Mason Shearer, our NCKSSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. If you'd like to nominate an Athlete of the Week, you can visit NCKSSports.com for more information. We'll announce the winners each week, and you can nominate an athlete from any school sport. So, again, go to NCKSSports.com for all the info on that, and congratulations to Mason Shearer. Also, coming up today, high school sports cross-country, as Osborne will be hosting their first cross-country meet in 19 years, first time they've been hosting an event. The Osborne Invitational starts at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Joining Osborne there will be Lakeside and Thunder Ridge from the area. Also, the Republic County Invitational coming up today at 4 o'clock. Beloit, St. John's, Smith Center, Southern Cloud, and Pike Valley from the area competing in that one. And girls tennis this afternoon, or this morning actually, starting at 11 o'clock, Beloit and Concordia at the Concordia Invitational. And this evening, Concordia volleyball team is at Marysville with a 5:15 start time in NCKL league action in volleyball. So all the latest schedules also at NCKSSports.com. And we remind everybody to stay tuned tonight on Katy Country 94, katycountry94.com, for our high school football locker room chats as well. We'll talk with the head coaches of St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas this evening. So you can listen again on Katy Country 94 and also online at katycountry94.com. If you missed last night's locker room chats, you can go back and listen on our locker room chat podcast at katycountry94.com as well.
All right, the Royals rained out yesterday in Cleveland, which means the Royals will get 2 days off. They didn't play yesterday, rained out, won't play today, off day. They play Detroit coming up tomorrow. Begin the series against the Tigers 6:10 tomorrow evening, and it's going to be the final. It was going to be the final road series of the regular season until the Royals had to schedule a flight back to Cleveland for Monday's makeup game, which will be Monday at 12:10. Mike Matheny said the Royals will stay on schedule with their pitching plans, with everyone being moved back due to the postponement. Right-hander Carlos Hernandez will start tomorrow night in Detroit, followed by John Heasley, the right-hander's second career start after making his debut last weekend, and he'll pitch on Saturday. And lefty Chris Bubich will get the start on Sunday. Don't look now, but the St. Louis Cardinals are red hot. St. Louis Cardinals picked the perfect time to get hot. The Cardinals have won 11 games in a row. 11 games in a row, and right now they are in good position to get a wild card. They have a 4.5 game lead over Cincinnati, Philadelphia. San Diego has lost 8 of their last 10 and 5 in a row, so they're toast with that big payroll. They're just a game over 500. Mets are toast as well, and it looks like the Reds and the Phillies are toast. So it looks like the Cardinals will get the chore of playing either the Giants or the Dodgers, and right now it could very well be the Dodgers in a one-game winner-take-all in L.A. as the Giants have a two-game lead over the Dodgers in the NL West. Milwaukee's wrapped up the Central. The Braves look like they're going to go on and win the East, although that's not guaranteed yet. And in the American League, Tampa Bay wrapped up a playoff spot. Houston's going to win their division, it appears. The White Sox winning their division. And Boston right now a two-game lead over the Yankees for the first wildcard spot. The second wildcard spot, the Yankees now a half game ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays. The Mariners still have a puncher's chance. 2.5 back. Oakland looks like too many teams to jump with only about 10 games to play. They're 3.5 back. So that's a look at Major League Baseball and the standings when it comes to the playoffs. Tampa Bay, a 6-game lead over Boston. Haven't clinched the division yet, but they will. White Sox, a 10.5-game lead over Cleveland. They should clinch here very soon. And then Houston has an 8-game lead over Seattle. They'll clinch very soon as well. Atlanta has a 3-game lead in the NL East over the Phillies. And then Milwaukee has wrapped up their spot with an 8.5-game lead over the Cardinals. And as we mentioned, the Giants are 2 games better than the Dodgers in the NL West. The Dodgers and Giants both could win 100 games, have the two best records in baseball. One's going to have to play a winner-take-all one-game wild card contest. The other rest up for the divisional series. Two best teams are in the same division. It's unfortunate. And a lot of people have said in certain leagues, you should just reseed it based on record. You should reseed on best on work record. Now, if you're a team that's in a really bad division, you can have a really glossy record. So there's a bit of a flaw to that. But this year, it's a pretty good division that they're in. I mean, top Padres aren't chop liver. They're decent. Dodgers and Giants, who have to play each other 20-some times a year, 19, 20 times. And the Giants have 99 wins and the Dodgers have 97. And more than likely, they'll both win 100 games and only one wins the division. Now, at least you get one game wild card. Back in the day, there was no wild card. You would not even gotten a playoffs. You know, the Mets back in 85, I believe, won 98 games and didn't make the playoffs. No wild card. Cardinals, of course, then went on to play the Royals in the World Series in 85. So I remember the Royals 1 year, I think they won 95 or 96 or something like that, and they didn't make the playoffs because they lost out to the, I think it was the Angels perhaps 1 year, or the A's. So at least you got a chance, but it's still not right in my opinion. But
Never a perfect system. You're not going to get it.
Listen, if you're a Royals fan, you'd be irate right now.
Oh,
97 wins.
Absolutely you would. Yeah.
If you're a Yankees fan, anybody, any fan base.
Whatever your team is, you're mad about it.
Right.
If you're the second team that wins 100 and you're behind the team that won 105 and you won 103 and you've got to play in a wild card.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass on that. This might even be more than that. But
yeah, I mean, you got 18 games better than the Cardinals, 15 games better than the Cardinals when you play them, and you're only going to have the only advantage is you get one game at home.
Yeah.
That's the only advantage you get. Okay, we were talking about the Chiefs yesterday and about not panicking, the defense bound to get better, can't get much worse, so forth and so on. Jaron Reed, the pickup during the offseason defensive tackle, said that much yesterday in his press conference, and the Chiefs will play teams that are more pass-happy than run-heavy. But there certainly are concerns with the Chiefs, no doubt. And if they lose to San Diego on Sunday, or L.A. Chargers, sorry, on Sunday, then the Chiefs will be last place in our division. No matter what happens with everybody else, they'd be last place. Could be two full games behind the Raiders and the Broncos if they lose to the Chargers. So it's a big game coming up on Sunday. If the Chiefs lose, is the end of the world? No, it's not. But you certainly would cause a panic mode, I guarantee, across the entire NFL if the Chiefs lose on Sunday, even though the Chargers are a very good football team. So I got to thinking, you know, we're talking about draft picks and so forth and so on, because if you're going to spend a lot of money on so many guys, then you really have to get your draft picks right. And the Chiefs tend to trade up or trade away picks to get players. And of course, they trade away picks to get Patrick Mahomes, which I would say everybody's okay with. They trade a first-round pick. Well, let's see. Brett Veach took over. He didn't have a first-round draft pick in 2019, okay, because Mahomes was the draft pick in 17. So he didn't have one in 18. In 2019, he traded away the Chiefs' first-round pick to acquire Frank Clark, and we all know how we feel about Frank Clark right now. And then 2020 was his first time he had a first-round pick, and he drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU, and some people say you never draft a running back anymore in the first round. And then last year, or this past season, he traded his first-round pick for a left tackle in Orlando Brown. So in four drafts, Brett Veach has had one first-round pick. Now, that's totally his decision. Don't feel bad for the guy. He's made the decisions, okay? He inherited the one with Mahomes, which we're okay with giving away that first-round pick in 18, so we had Mahomes in 17. That's a no-brainer. All right, so here, I thought it'd be interesting to go back and look at the draft and see how Brett Veach has done. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Brett Veach, in 2018, his first draft, and he had no first-round pick due to the Mahomes trade the year before. That was worked out there by John Dorsey and Andy Reid. The first pick of the Brett Veach era was Breland Speaks, who they traded up for. Big, fat bust on that one. Not a good way to start, Brett Veach. Breland Speaks was in, didn't last very long. Then he got hurt, and he just wasn't the right guy. Okay, then you had Derek Nnadi in the third round in 2018. And I would say, even though he's not an impact player, he was a decent pick. He's still on the team. He still starts inside. He's okay against the run. I always laugh when I hear, well, Nnadi's good against the run. Well, if he's so good against the run, why can't we stop the run? I mean, I know there's other guys that got to tackle. So Nnadi's okay pick. Here's another one. Dorian O'Daniel, remember him out of Clemson? He's not even on the team anymore, I don't believe. He was drafted 18 in the third round, so that's a bust right there. And we can say bust because you really need to be hitting on your first round, second round, third round pick. So in his first draft, he missed out on two of his first three picks were complete duds. And remember, he didn't have a first round pick. Round four, Armani Watts, safety from Texas A&M. I wouldn't say that was anything special. He's a special teams player, and that's it. Round six was Tre'Mont Smith. That didn't last very long.
No.
And then he traded up. He traded up from the seventh round to the sixth round to get offensive guard Khalil McKenzie, and I hear nothing about the guy.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he's in the organization.
They were
right
trying
now
to make him an offensive lineman, which
right
he wasn't, and
right
I don't think it worked out.
So we've got, what, one good pick out of the first draft?
Yeah, Dorian O'Daniel is still with the Chiefs,
he
by
is
the way, but he's just like Watts, a special teams guy. Like he's
okay
not.
So those aren't good picks.
No.
Okay. Especially now, if it's a sixth round pick for Dorian O'Daniel, then okay, special
well, yeah,
teams 3 years
yeah
later, that's all right. Okay, in 2019, the Chiefs traded the first round pick for Frank Clark. So they had no first round pick in 2019. Round two, the Chiefs took a wide receiver named Mecole Hardman. Now Mecole Hardman has not been a bust. He's had some big plays for the Chiefs. But when you consider DK Metcalf was there and the Chiefs could have had him and they didn't take him because they panicked over Tyreek Hill, I have a hard time saying that was a great pick. Would you agree?
Yeah, it's not a great pick.
Not a great pick.
At
okay
this point in time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Juan Thornhill was also drafted in second round 2019. As a rookie, looked like he's going to be a ball hawk. He's going to be an outstanding player. Tore his ACL the last game of the season against the Chargers at home. And now he got 11 snaps against the Ravens the other night, and Sorensen got way more. And he's undrafted. Thornhill's a second-round pick. What's up with that? Question was asked of Andy Reid yesterday, and he deferred to Steve Spagnuolo. Didn't even answer the question, which is very weird to me. So that's not a great pick right now. Round three in 2019, Colin Saunders. Last year, he hardly could get on the field. This year, he's on the field a little bit more. Sometimes he starts. Sometimes he rotates in a defensive line. Okay pick. Nothing special. Sixth round pick in 2019 was Rashad Fenton, who's still on the team, sometimes plays in nickel and dime packages. Okay.
I feel like did some things as a sixth round pick, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it like
sure
overwhelms everybody, but sixth right round pick, he actually has made some plays.
Okay. But no
impact. Some of those guys on special teams.
Not an impact player,
picks,
though.
No.
Can we agree? Not an impact player?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, round six, 2019, Darwin Thompson. They just cut him, so that's not great. Now, round seven, Nick Allegretti, I'd say that's a decent pick. He started last year when they had injuries. He's a backup this year. I'd say it's decent. Not an impact player, but decent. All right. So we're through 2018 through 2019, and the best draft pick is Derek Nnadi. Would you agree? I think Juan Thornhill could be better, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there somebody I'm missing?
No, I'm just. Mecole is just as good as Derek Nnadi, I feel like.
But Nnadi was a third round pick.
Yeah.
Mecole Hardman was a second round pick, and you passed on DK Metcalf. So.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Passing on
DK is where it comes in at. But
well, there are other good players available,
yeah,
too, the Chiefs didn't take. At second round pick, he's got to be an impact player. At times, he's an impact player. Nnadi's not a gigantic impact player. Now, if Hardman was a fourth round pick, you'd feel better. You'd grade it better. But it was a second round pick, their first pick of that draft. 2020, round one, running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I would say he's an impact player. He almost has to be. He starts. But I think some people are still wondering about him, right?
Yeah.
Especially after the last game. He's only averaging 3 yards a carry, which I still say the running game, that's something else that'll get better for the Chiefs. Got a brand new offensive line. It's going to take some time, the cohesion, communication for the run game. So don't give up on the run yet. Round two, Willie Gay Jr., very athletic guy. Very athletic guy. I've got some sources that tell me that Willie Gay isn't exactly the sharpest tool in the shed, and that might hold him back in some situations.
I think we knew that when they drafted him.
Yeah, yeah. So Willie Gay Jr., who's been injury-prone the last couple of years, very athletic guy. So right now you can't say he's an impact player.
Shows flashes when he's actually out there, but he's just not been out there.
But you can't say he's an impact player yet.
No.
Lucas Niang, now that's a good pick so far. He's starting this year. He's only had a couple starts. He's graded out okay. Right tackle. So I'll go Naughty. If you want to go Hardman, I have a hard time going there, but Hardman, fine. Niang, okay, there, that's all right. Legarius Sneed is probably the best draft pick he's had, to be honest, and that's a fourth-round pick. That's definitely an impact player, all-rookie team a year ago. Round five, Mike Danna, you know, decent pick. He plays on defensive end, okay. And Bo Pete Keys, the seventh-round pick. And what happened there? Well, he's on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Okay. So nothing super great. This year's draft might be early to grade. Linebacker Nick Bolton in the second round because they traded a first round pick for Orlando Brown. Nick Bolton's struggling in pass coverage. Running rush defense, not bad. They got him in the second round. And they also got Creed Humphrey, who is their starting center. I think he's going to be a good player. So I think at least Creed Humphrey is a solid pick. Bolton might be. I think the jury's still out. Then the Chiefs took defensive end Joshua Kendo, and he's not even playing on game day, so you can't really grade him yet. A little bit early. And, okay, my page became – oh, there we go. Duke tight end Noah Gray in the fifth round. Jury's way out still on him. Cornell Powell didn't even make the team, and now he's on the practice squad. Wide receiver in the fifth round. And then your sixth-round pick is a guy that everybody passed on because of health concerns. That's Trey Smith. Trey Smith is a sixth-round pick. So I just gave you, let's see here, 18 picks the first 3 years. And the Chiefs last year made 6 picks. So Brett Veach has had 24 picks in his 4 years as GM. We agree that Naughty is decent. Hardman, I think we'd say, is decent. Niang, I think we can say right now, is decent. He's a starter, so you got three starters.
Room to grow there for Niang.
Hardman's a starter because you let go of Watkins, or he wouldn't be a starter. So you got technically three starters there. Sneed, okay, starter. And Trey Smith, who's a starter. Trey Smith, Legarius Sneed, Lucas Niang, Mecole Hardman, which still people have problems with that one, and Derek Naughty.
And Creed Humphrey, too.
And Creed Humphrey. Okay, so Creed Humphrey, he's a starter.
If
that's
you're
right.
Counting Trey Smith.
Yeah, and Bolton's a starter, but I'm not going to sit here and go nuts on him yet.
Yeah.
And Creed's only played two games, so I kind of.
But I mean, Trey Smith, Creed and Trey Smith both.
Trey Smith's a sixth round pick. That's why I put that higher.
Yeah.
Because there's not as much. You know, if you bust on a sixth round pick, it's not as big a deal as a second round pick.
Yeah. The jury's out on everybody that was drafted this year.
One, two, three, four, five. So the Chiefs have six starters out of 24 picks over 4 years. That's not exactly great.
No, it's not.
I don't think it's average either. I think it's below average. Now, what would change that draft if Bolton becomes a stud, Humphrey, and, of course, Trey Smith looks like he's a real deal. If Kane Doe can end up being a contributor next couple of years, and Noah Gray can eventually be the Kelsey replacement, because I think that's what they look at him as, maybe. But not as athletic as Travis Kelsey, but then who is it tied in? You're sitting here and you're going, out of 24 picks, 18 of them haven't panned out, and six are decent. And actually, I would say three are decent. One's legitimate, and that's Need, although he's only year two. And then the others, as you say, the jury's still out because they've only played a couple of games. Creed Humphrey looks to be solid. Nick Bolton looks to be a decent player. Willie Gay could be. Don't know. Clyde Edwards-Helaire could be. Okay. So, Helaire, I guess they'd be seven if you count.
He's Helaire. A starter, yeah.
He's a starter. Yeah. That'd be seven out of 24. I'm just not overly impressed by the drafting of Brett Veach. It's okay. But when you put so much money into all these players, you have less room for error in the draft. And then the fact that they trade out and give up first-round picks to get guys, which take on more payroll for the salary cap, and then you have less darts to throw at the dartboard to hit, now it's even tougher, less room for error, so it's even magnified why this drafting of Brett Veach has to be even better. And quite honestly, when you look at his draft, when it goes to, well, he's only had one first-round pick. His second-round picks aren't exactly knocking anything out of the park yet. His best draft picks, at least right now, quite honestly, it's really one, and that's L'Jarius Sneed, because I think it's a little early to say Trey Smith's going to be an all-pro. Mm-hmm. It's too early for Creed Humphrey. Hilaire is still the jury out on him. Might be just a decent running back, but not a superstar or a great running back. Sneed is the only terrific player, and he could go backwards after year two or have a bad year this year. There's just no gigantic impact player. And the last impact player the Chiefs had, of course, was 2017 with Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs don't have, you know, Kelsey was an impact player, obviously, round three. Jared Allen way back in the day. Jamal Charles, round three. You know, Kareem Hunt.
I was just going to say they had another one in 2017 that was a pretty good impact
player,
Hunt. But not on the team.
How about Tyreek
Hill?
Tyreek Hill, a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
Those are impact players. And it's interesting that the Chiefs continue to strike out, for the most part, on first and second-round picks, except for Patrick Mahomes. That's not a good track record when you're putting – you know, it's one thing if you don't put a lot of money on other guys and then you get more draft picks, you're bound to hit more the more picks you take. I get that. But at the same time, that's not – Not you wonder why the Chiefs are playing Ben Neiman and Daniel Sorensen more than some of these other guys? It's because these other guys aren't panning out. And you've got to go cheap and go with rookies or second-year players or guys that you drafted, pull on the practice squad, hope they develop, and then they become a good player. And maybe Cornell Powell, Noah Gray will become players like that. I don't know. Armani Watts, I don't think is ever going to be a great player on this team. Dorian O'Daniel, no, don't see it. If he was, he'd already be starting.
Yeah,
so there, and you wouldn't keep drafting linebackers. So. Yeah. The drafting of Brett Veach has not been too super awesome.
No, it hasn't.
I'm not going to say it's god awful, but it's not. I'd say it's below average, personally.
Yeah, I like the Dorian and O'Daniel pick, to be completely honest with you, but he just hasn't panned out.
No,
like,
he hasn't.
I remember watching him in college because I watched a lot of Clemson games, right? And,
yeah.
And so I really liked the way he played, but he just hasn't panned out in the NFL, and I don't know why. I don't know if that's just his development or, like you say, undersized and he can't play it. That position in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's guys that do. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is on that. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about, you know, when you sign these guys, there's less money to go around, but there's also less spaces to go around, too. Like, you,
sure.
Cornell Powell, like,
right.
That's hard to get into this lineup at wide receiver the way that they had it set up right now. And I, you know, Cornell Powell was a fifth-round pick, and you'd hope that maybe he can crack the team, but maybe – now hope that he can continue to improve on the practice squad and then maybe get on it next year. But, you know, there's not as much money to go around to sign some of these guys too. So a lot of these guys aren't going to make
that's why you take less picks.
You take, trade picks and don't get as many of them. And then some of them end up on the practice squad. So you don't have to pay them the full money that you might.
Then you have undrafted guys like Neiman and Sorensen playing significant snaps over draft picks that haven't panned out, are no longer on the team, or are not getting enough playing time because they're not ready. Who knows? Because Juan Thornhill is a great example. Why is he not playing more than Daniel Sorensen?
Yeah.
It's a great question. And apparently he's just not good enough yet, I guess. I have to trust the coaches on that. Or they just don't trust him yet. I don't know. But that's a guy that's got to step in and take a spot. You know, right now, the offensive line, Humphrey and Smith and Niang all slid right in those spots, beat out Tardif, Allegretti, and other guys. Austin Blythe, that you love to see. But on defensive side, who's beating out anybody? Sneed, you know, won a spot. But after that, and Bolton's winning it by default because of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Nadi starts, and I think that's almost by default because they're on great defensive tackles. I mean, who else is a guy that's actually, you know, taking a job on the defense that they've drafted? I mean, that's where I really look at it. Defensively, the Chiefs have not done well drafting, except for Sneed,
mm-hmm.
that I recall.